For our next witness, the defense calls Moses. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. On Friday, we were looking at the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus is accused of Sabbath breaking and blasphemy. The travesty of a trial would come later. Here, in the court of public opinion, the Lord would make his defense. And he put the lead prosecution witness, Moses, on his own witness list, along with John the Baptist and God. Here's Jim with part two of The Question.
The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. When it comes to the final arbitration of what is right and wrong, what will be rewarded and will be judged, the Father has chosen to excuse himself from the bench. I sit on the bench of judgment. All men will answer to me for their conduct. I don't think I'm making this up. If you drop down with me into those verses we will not cover this morning, look at verse 28. Do not marvel at this. That's a reference to the power of the Son to speak the truth, and people will hear and be born again. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming, that's future, in which all, circle that word, all, A-L-L, that's Muhammad, that's Joseph Smith. You name them, they're included in that word all. All who are in the graves will hear his voice. That's a reference to the Son, not the Father, the Son. And come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Dear friends, listen. Jesus is claiming to be equal with God as pertains to the doing, the works, and the power to do that. The knowledge and wisdom, all that God knows, he knows. As to the ability to give life to the point of creation and resurrection. And in that case, Jesus says that it's his voice that will summon all. Hitler will come out of the grave. So will you, my friend. I struggle every time I face an audience at a funeral service, looking into those eyes and thinking, how can I communicate to them the awesome truth? Death is not the end. It's not even a comma. And that someday, friend, whoever you are and whatever you believe, you are going to face Jesus as your judge. And he will judge you on his terms, not yours. That's what it means to be equal with God. That's what Jesus is claiming. Now notice the final thing. Verse 23. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. If you reverence the Father, you must reverence the Son. If you worship the Father, you must worship the Son. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Does that help you understand what Jesus means when he says, I am equal with God? As the second thing Jesus does in this passage, he very carefully negotiates the truth so that he does not violate the central truth of that there is one God, not three gods, one God in three persons, but one God. See what he says up here in verse 19? Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, independent of the Father. The Son is always in harmony with the Father. Look at verse 30. He repeats it again. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. There is one God, there is one will, and Jesus is God, equal to the Father. Beginning verse 31, Jesus then introduces a whole list of witnesses to come alongside and support these claims. He begins in verse 31 by saying that if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That is, my witness is suspect. If all I have is my own testimony, if that's it, just what I claim, anybody can claim anything. But I'm not relying just on what I'm saying, Jesus says. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness that he bears of me is true. Who is that? Probably the Holy Spirit. Because that's the same language Jesus would use 2 years later in the upper room when he would say to the disciples, I will pray the Father and he will send another, same word, another comforter in my place, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is probably here reminding his audience that as he came up out of the waters of baptism, it was the Holy Spirit who descended in the form of dove and rested upon him physically, visually, signifying Jesus' deity. Bearing witness from the power of the Holy Spirit. The book you have in your lap is a product of this Holy Spirit. He chose the authors, guided the inscripturization, and the book you have is the product of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you sent to John. He is borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may believe. That is, John's testimony was from a human source, and John could well have been deceived. You remember, just before John was executed, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you really the one, or did I miss it? Remember that? So Jesus introduces the testimony of John because the people in his crowd understood that John was a powerful voice, a man sent from God. And don't set that aside so lightly. When the people were asking Jesus in the temple, by what authority do you do these things, cleanse the temple and all of that? By what authority? He said, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from man? And they couldn't answer his question. They refused to answer his question. Because they knew that the credibility of John's witness and testimony lay heavy upon the consciences of a huge number of people in that day. Now remember, John said, pointing to Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, he that is, I forget, senior moment. He's God. The third witness that Jesus calls to his defense are the very works that he did. Notice verse 36, I have a greater witness than that of John's. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. There is a fourth witness. And by the way, don't set that aside lightly. No one has ever come back from the grave in resurrection power. Jesus did. No one has ever lived and done so many miracles that if it were necessary to write them all, John said the very world couldn't contain the books that would be required. Incredible burst of supernatural power, walking on the water, stilling the storm, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, casting out demons. The works that Jesus did bear witness that his claim is true. And then, in the fourth place, the Father himself, verse 37, who sent me has testified of me. He did that in the voice from heaven at the baptism. He did that in sending Gabriel to Mary to announce his birth. He did that in sending the angels to the shepherds to declare his birth, on and on and on. The Father has been bearing witness to me. In the fifth place, you search the scriptures, verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. The scriptures, the 39 books of the Old Testament was what they had, and they have hundreds of references to Jesus Christ, to his deity. Prophetic passages accurately fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So if you take the template of the Old Testament scriptures and take the person, work, and words of Jesus, you will find they are in perfect alignment. Astonishing. Finally, in verse 46, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses is called before the bar to bear witness to the deity of Jesus Christ by Jesus fulfilling the prophecies and promises that Moses wrote in the first five books of the Bible. You remember, Jesus once had this crowd of people who were rejecting him say, "We know that God spoke through Moses, but we're not sure about you." Well, Jesus turns that table and said, if you really believed what Moses said, if you really accepted what God said when he spoke through Moses, you would have to believe that I am equal to God. So, in light of all this evidence, what's the problem? Well, I think Jesus puts his finger on the problem. Verse 42. What he basically says is, look, you're right. I am claiming a unique relationship with God. I am claiming to be equal with the Father. I am claiming to be one with him. I do nothing apart from him. I seek his will because there's only one will, the one singular will of God himself, to which the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in absolute perfect accord. All of these witnesses support my claim. But I know what your problem is. Here's your problem. I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will believe. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? The problem with Jesus' listeners was that they did not love God. They did not know the God they professed, and they were not eager at all to honor God. The problem was that they were only concerned about themselves and only worshiped their own opinions and only sought the honor and applause of other men. That's all that mattered to them. They did not have within themselves any sense of God and God's claim upon them. As long as they were popular, as long as they did and said what was politically correct, as long as they were esteemed by their colleagues, that's all that mattered. And the same thing is true today. The reason you do not come to Jesus Christ as your Savior is because when push comes to shove, you don't give a rip about God. the only God, and you would rather worship at the shrine of a God that you create out of your own imagination, with whom you are comfortable, because he won't interfere with your passion to be accepted by your neighbors and friends. When another comes in his own name saying, you don't need to be radical to be a good person. You don't need to be distinctive to be saved. You don't need to have an outside source to be concerned about truth and morality. Enjoy life. I'll help you. Just be moderate. And when he comes with that message, people will receive him. There have been several in history who have fit the bill, and indeed, the Jews have followed them. Several in history who fit that bill, and Gentiles have followed them. And one will soon appear on the stage of human history with that same offer, and the world will claim him as their God. Our Heavenly Father, this portion of your word is crystal clear. It is powerful, gripping. It takes no enemies, seeks no compromise, is not open to negotiation. I pray that this morning we will think deeply what we've learned. And we will celebrate the great things that we, your people, have been privileged to do as your partners in this last year. We will think deeply upon why we do what we do and make sure we're doing it with the right motive and that we're doing it. That we will think about the claims of Jesus Christ, what he said about himself. His enemies understood well that he was claiming equality with God, and he didn't disappoint them. My friend, your head bowed and your eye closed, you understand that you don't answer to me. I am not your judge. I am not your conscience. I, like you, am a sinner. But do you understand that you will answer to Jesus? Do you understand that he is the only man ever who is equal with God? Because he was God, he could die for your sins voluntarily, pay the full penalty for all of your sins. He can then come into your heart and life when you repent of your sins and invite him in, and he can make you a new person. He can give you eternal life. Do you understand? According to the Bible, there is only one God. And Jesus is that God. The Father is that God. The Holy Spirit is that God. Three personalities, one God. And the only way you will spend eternity with that God is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no alternative route. There is no plan B. If this morning You wish to deal with your sins and have them forgiven. You wish to have peace with God. Then right now, confess to God, I am a sinner. Believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, based upon the very evidences he gives here. Commit yourself to him. Lord Jesus, you might pray, I am not worthy, I am a sinner. Would you please come into my heart, forgive me of all of my sins, and give me your life. I commit myself to you as my Lord and Savior. Pray that prayer. Mean it with all your heart. And then pursue developing a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our Father, it's not fair to tell folks these enormously important truths and give them no chance to make that decision. So my friend, as you're standing there right now, just before I dismiss you, if you have burdens and concerns about these matters, you want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You want to receive him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You want to begin a life, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then as I finish the prayer and as I dismiss the rest of the congregation, step out, come down, kneel here. Folks will leave quietly. One of my friends will pray with you, answer your questions, and lead you to Christ. Don't leave this auditorium under the illusion that you can ignore or deny or refuse Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and still go to heaven or have peace with God. Drive that truth home to our hearts, Lord, and fasten it to the deepest part of our being. Convince us, persuade us, make us restless, convict us of sin, till we've made our peace with you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're following the religion of Moses, then you have to believe Moses when he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him." There had never been a prophet like Moses, nor a miracle worker like Elijah and Elisha, until Jesus. Jim's sermon is called The Question. If you'd like to have the entire message on CD, we'll send that to you for a gift of $7 or more. It's part of a larger inquiry into special works Jesus did. That series is available as a set of 13 CDs, and it can be yours for a donation of $45 or more. Thanks to everyone who sent a check or donated online, and to everyone who's prayed for Pastor Jim and the ministry. Please don't forget us as summer takes us out of our routines and into the wide open spaces. And I haven't forgotten you New Zealand listeners either, where it's wintertime. We'd ask you to remember us too. Thank you all. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA, or just call 1-800-984-2313. Again, 800-984-2313. And get familiar with the website, rightstartradio.org. On our site, you can hear this program again, or quite a few programs from the audio library. And you can play or download complete sermons by Pastor Jim, all free, as is the podcast. We'll give you a link to that. And you can donate securely at rightstartradio.org. We don't believe in spam, and we won't send you any. Connect with us at rightstartradio.org. And thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll feast our ears on the lunch that changed the world. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Right Start.